And welcome back to another episode of Point Blank. This is your co-host, Gage McClanahan, and with me we have our other co-host, the man, Jake Clem.
And it is Wednesday, July 22nd, and we're back with another episode of Point Blank. How you doing, Jake?
Doing good, doing good. Not much has changed, and just daily, live day by day, bro.
Yeah, same old, but yeah, we got the mic situation figured out, so
yeah. So if I sound sexy, I can't take the credit. It's all from my boy Gage. Honestly, he hooked me up with a mic. So
yeah, happy birthday. It was a birthday present.
Yeah,
and then we got the sound booth in my place, looking nice, looking sweet. Got my boy Dwight, the lava lamp Dwight.
Dwight.
Yeah, yeah. He's a little shy right now. He's not really going crazy.
You got to get used to the environment.
Yeah, it's a little bit colder. It's a little bit colder here today, so it's cool in my apartment. So I guess when it's like warmer, that's when they cook up.
How cool are we talking though? That's the question.
How cool?
Yeah.
Like outside or like in my apartment?
Outside though.
Oh, 77.
It's like 97 here.
Yeah, bro. It's been dummy nice. It's I don't know. My summer is kind of ticking away. It's like my last summer of like kind of like college. I don't know. Like you didn't just graduate, but I mean, I was playing, so I was still in school a little bit, mm-hmm. but about to grow up, man.
9 to 5 suck. Let me tell you that right now.
Yeah. But yeah, on our end for football wise, last week they announced that we're just not playing our non-conference schedule, but we're still on the go for football. But I don't know. They said it's subject to change, like day by day, and that's more of like a. I feel like it's gonna change. Yeah. Like, it's like I mean, it's good that they're optimistic. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they like said that they're gonna play.
Yeah.
But I don't know, with everything going on. I just hope, I don't know, I hope it's not like we're like, if they cancel it, I feel like it would be like a couple weeks or like 3 weeks into like fall camp, and then they'll like cut the plug, which would be crappy, but it's better than like us like 3 games in, and then they just like cancel everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think people, obviously all people want the season to happen and everything, but like, sometimes... I think they put that it's subject to change because it will change no matter how we want to look at it or how we think it shouldn't change or whatever. But again, I've been watching a lot of soccer as of lately because the games have been coming almost every day of the week. And aside from soccer, it's kind of jump subject. Like they tested NBA players and not one of them came back with the virus. So,
well, they're in that bubble, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be sweet. That'd be it's like a spring break, like vacation, like spot, like for college kids, you know, they're always at the same spot or something and they're just going crazy. Like, that'd be so much fun just to be like around all the other NBA guys, you know, just hanging out. Like, they're out there playing like cornhole all the time and just chilling and stuff. Obviously, getting the work in, but that's a sweet environment.
It's almost like college if you kind of think about it, except
well, yeah, class. Bro, they're all in like hotel rooms and like bunking it up.
Yeah, I could do it maybe for, I don't know if I could do it for a full on season, but I think I could.
Pat McAfee said they're gonna screw up because all the young guys are gonna get lonely and try and slide out to go see some young chicks or something and then catch it and then bring it back.
Wouldn't be surprised. It already happened for the MLS. So,
yeah.
You just don't know how people are going to handle things like that. I mean, again, jumping a lot of subject or jumping a lot of topics in different areas. But I've been seeing, like, videos not necessarily go viral as of lately, but just, like, people freaking out because they've been under freaking quarantine for so long and they're just getting... tired of it, getting tired of their family, getting tired of sitting around.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good thing to be doing that all the time. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. But, yeah. It'll be straight, though. At least Division One. I was reading this article, and it was about the stuff they're going to do, mm-hmm. like, testing-wise, in order to, you know, during the season, bro. It's wild. I don't know if it was all true on what I read, but, I mean, I can't remember what site. I mean, it was a legitimate site, so. Mm-hmm. And I might butcher some of the rules, but they said they're doing, like, testing before the game, and then they're going to do it after the game, and then if somebody, like, comes back positive – while, like, say they're, like, whoever it is, they're traveling, you know, it's an away game for them, mm-hmm. and they test positive while they're there, they have to stay in that city for, like, 2 weeks in quarantine mm-hmm. by the other team's athletic staff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll come to that, because there's been already so many negative tests, and I do, surprisingly, as of right now, I think the NBA is doing a very good job of keeping the players confined, and I mean, I guess they're keeping them happy, too, because they haven't gone anywhere. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, NBA comes back in a couple days. Or I think it's about a week. And then
I think July 31st is what it is, yeah.
Yep, and then baseball kicks off in 3 days. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say kick off, but, yeah. You know, uh-huh. You get started.
Yeah. No pun intended.
So, I'm excited for that. I'm ready for my Braves. To see them play again, so
things are looking up. Bottom line, which is
we're getting there. Mm-hmm. This is a good time. I've said it a bunch of times. It's a good time to grow personally and stuff. Yeah. You know, learn to. A lot of people need to learn how to kind of be by themselves and mm-hmm. not have to be around people all the time and become codependent. So
yeah, 100%.
Blessing in disguise for some people. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so we decided today for the show we're going to talk about our favorite teams, so the Bucks and the Steelers, but we're going to kind of give like our own opinions as of, you know, worst player, best player, you know, the one we like the most, the worst coach, best coach, you know, just stuff like that. So I'm excited about this one. Yeah. This is going to be a good one.
Just a little more in depth into us and how we feel.
Yeah,
up close and personal.
And then so I'm excited for that. But, I mean, it was your idea, so I'll let you kick it off. You just want to, you know, spitball, you know, back and forth.
Yeah, just,
you know, just give one, and then I'll play off it with my team.
Yeah, just ramble it off. Obviously, first things first, all-time favorite player. For me, I got a whole lot of options, it seems, but
yeah,
I think my favorite player of all time probably has to be Troy Polamalu. I mean...
Yeah,
the dude was easily just he was Steeler football. If you ask anybody about Troy Polamalu and the comparisons exactly. between him and Ed Reed, I don't know how you feel about those.
I mean, they're like this. I mean, they're both Hall of Famers. You know, they're both mm-hmm. ball hawks. I mean, they're similar. That's crazy that they're both in the same division. Mm-hmm. That'd be wild.
Yeah,
to like play or have to play against them or you know. But yeah, I agree with that. I like that pick for you.
Yeah, like I said, just
and he's a good dude too. You know, he's
never very like in trouble guy. Yeah, always see him on the sidelines like kind of praying and everything.
Not just like his culture, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the whole Samoan
respectable
thing.
Respectable.
But yeah. So for me, with my long list of greats. I'd probably say we talked about him before. He was a fullback, but it was Mike Allstott, bro. Mm-hmm. I never sent you the highlights. I forgot to do that, but
yeah,
he was my first favorite player. That was my first jersey I remember having and always wearing. You know, my first year in football, I played like fullback kind of a little bit. I had to run it a little bit. I felt like I was fast back then, but you know, that's who I wanted to be like. You know, he was a good person too. Really good person off the field. he's in our Ring of Honor, you know, so he's one of our better players. But, you know, it'd be like him or, I mean, there's a bunch of, in like the early 2000s, we had a bunch of good ones, you know, like Derrick Brooks, Warwick Dunn. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks wise, we've never really had that. I mean, J-Boo, but we were talking about him earlier. But anyways, yeah, definitely got to go Mike Allstott. That dude's just a beast. I'll find a link while you're talking, and I'll send it to you, and you can watch it later.
Yeah, definitely. Now, for this next one, I feel like it could almost be, I don't know about for you, but as for the best player in the franchise's history, I feel like there's been a lot of Steelers, and I don't know if you think we should go off individually, like he's the best player, or who did the most for the franchise. Because, I mean, if we're going franchise, it's got to be Terry Bradshaw, who gave the Steelers 4 rings.
Yeah, that's wild.
Skill-wise, I've heard freaking Lynn Swan was, obviously I never saw Lynn Swan play, but I know he could just jump out of the gym.
Yeah.
Just caress balls with caress balls.
pause.
just catch anything in sight. But now modern day Steelers fans they've seen AB and everything, and
yeah, but there's a lot of stuff that he does that, you know, can kind of definitely contradict that stuff. So
yeah. So I guess I kind of have 2 answers. I don't know if you'll give 1 or 2, but I might have to be.
I'll talk about a few and then kind of give my.
Then you get Troy Polamalu's up there too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He's. Yeah, I'm gonna just. I'm in my own head over here, so I'm gonna let you take this one for the Tampa Bay.
So, one of ours, you know, one of our, he was a dog. He was, you know, older guy. I never saw him play, but his name was Leroy Salomon.
Mm-hmm.
He was a freaking dog, Hall of Famer. He was our only Hall of Famer until, you know, Derrick Brooks and like Rondé Barber, like that class.
Mm-hmm.
So I never saw him. He was a defensive guy. He was a beast, but, you know, some other ones that are definitely all-time greats, you know, Derrick Brooks, linebacker, he's a dog. Warren Sapp was really good for us.
Yeah.
Rondé, like I just said, Mike Allstott's up there.
Mm-hmm.
John Lynch. I don't know. That defense, bro, was, like, just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of around the same time as the the Ravens, like, when they had their, like, you know, that crazy defense.
And Ray Lewis.
Like, the early.
Yeah. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. Yeah, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was like one of like, you know, when you think of like just, you know, hardcore defense, you know, tough, you know, couldn't get past, like they're definitely, that defense was definitely up there. But, I mean, it's got to be like Derrick Brooks though, bro. Like that dude was just a stud. I mean, he was still in the league for like a couple of my early years when I remember watching him, but he was just a baller, bro, and he's a good person, too. That's the best part about it. But he was one of the guys on that Super Bowl team. I remember he was a dog. Mm-hmm. So definitely got to go with Derrick Brooks. And plus, he played at Florida State. So that's kind of sweet to see a Knoll get drafted by another, you know, Florida team. So
going
to Tampa Bay and definitely leaving his mark. So
yeah,
love that.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I could also give a shout for the freaking Steel Curtain with Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are full of freaking.
And I don't even mean like gloat, but there's just so many great, like literally great players that the Steelers have been blessed to have and everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess I think I would say that maybe the Steel Curtain is just an honorable mention for this category, just because they to play with Terry Bradshaw and for Terry Bradshaw to have them as his defense for some years. I mean, it's a blessing to have. So, some people would say that Steelers have been, their defenses have won the Super Bowls, and not necessarily Ben or Terry, but
yeah. No, I definitely, I mean, your guys' offense, I feel like your guys, like, every year, I mean, granted, you guys won 2 Super Bowls, like, since you've been alive.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like every best offensive year for you guys, it was never a Super Bowl year. Yeah. You guys went far.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, that offense obviously was freaking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe the defense definitely carried the way for those actual seasons.
Yeah.
But I feel like more recently, though, like, since, you know, we've been alive, it's been, the Steelers have been really offensive driven with a strong defense. I'm saying, like, over, like, the majority of the years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Steelers had a crazy defense forever, but
yeah, and it,
that's what I think.
But this defense is what kept us surviving this past year for a possible playoff run, which, I mean, I think Mike Tomlin had no choice but to say, hey, you guys got to step up. I got Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. I don't know what y'all expect me to do with that, but
yeah,
it is what it is. But that's Steelers football. Defense is Steelers football.
I saw a tweet the other. It was like a meme of a.
I think you sent it to me. If we're talking about the
Myles Garrett,
yeah, how many helmets he can buy or something now with his new contract?
How many times he can hit Mason Rudolph in the head
and get fined for
it? Get fined.
Yeah, okay,
it was like 124 times or something like that, because he's got, you know, that was his contract. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but yeah. I mean, final answer, franchise wise, Jay Bradshaw, individually talented. I'm gonna say probably Lynn Swann.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good one. What, should we do, like, favorite coach?
I don't have any options. I got 3 options, and I wasn't alive for one of them, but I feel like I'm going to say Chuck Knoll, just because he won the most. He's got 4 Super Bowls, and the other 2 have 1 each, so that's it's an easy one for me, and just from... And I guess I'm going to reference my dad, who Chuck Knoll had a whole lot of talent around him, obviously, with the Bradshaw, Franco Harris, everybody I just named for the best Steeler of all time, basically. And they, like, nowadays, like, back then, from what my dad has told me, players stayed. They never left unless they ran out their contract or something, or just something wacko happened. You see people you see people nowadays, other than maybe quarterbacks, then again, some quarterbacks leaving, obviously, is for the money. Obviously. But
yeah,
I mean, Chuck Knoll was, I think he was,
I feel like back then, bro, like, it was a lot more again, I still think the game is really passionate driven, but back then, you know, it necessarily wasn't probably all about the money, where a lot of decisions are made nowadays about money. Like, I don't feel like anybody back then would, you know, say that they're going to hold out on playing a full season, like, just because they're you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
and we'll get to that whole thing. But I think the Chuck Knoll is not like Mike Tomlin from, I don't know if they were documentaries or just some clips that I've seen of Chuck Knoll. He'd tell, like, his team a story, and he won't even complete the story. He'd just walk away. Like, he was just a weird coach that you don't know if he got the wins or because his team was so talented that they got the wins for him. It's just, but again, I mean, I can already knock Mike Tomlin just because he's had talent around him for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
The Killer Bees, obviously, and then he got to the 2010 Super Bowl, like, 2 years after he won the Super Bowl, and he hasn't done much since, so I can't say that. And then I just don't think Cowher, I'm not sure how long Cowher was there. Decent amount of time, got a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And, but again, that's, I mean, so Tomlin's been there I think he took over 07, 08, around there. 12 years, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl win.
He definitely got it going on.
Yeah, I can't say I'm satisfied just because of what we've had, but
yeah,
that's that. And again, Steelers, we don't fire coaches. We're pretty loyal, sometimes to a fault, with our coaches. A lot of people called for Tomlin to be out X amount of years ago. So, but he also hasn't had a losing season. So,
yeah. We talked about that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about the winning seasons, or at least not going negative.
Yeah. But Chuck Noll, final answer.
I like that. For mine, it's easy for me. It's John Gruden. Like, John Gruden was the dude for us. Loved him. Mm-hmm. But, another good one, I feel like maybe not a lot of people our age know this, but Tony Dungy was the coach before John Gruden at Tampa Bay.
I didn't know he was the head coach.
Yeah, so he was the head coach there, and a lot of people, like, my dad has told me this, like, a lot of the people think the knock on John Gruden is that he didn't really build that Super Bowl team. It was more of Tony Dungy, and as soon as Tony Dungy left, that next season we won the Super Bowl. So a lot of people kind of think that, you know, Tony, they might say Tony Dungy because he, like, built that team. So, like, that crazy defense, you know. And then, but John Gruden, man, I mean, he delivers our Super Bowl. And I just love John Gruden as, you know, he's a quarterback guy. And I just love watching him coach and stuff. So, I'd say him. You know, probably older Bucks fans will probably say Tony Dungy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I mean, I feel like Bruce Arians, though. My answer is John Gruden, but I feel like Bruce Arians, if he can, like, he's been a good coach everywhere he's gone. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like he can definitely, he's probably already top 3, which is sad, but.
I feel like.
I mean, we don't have the greatest list of, I'm looking at all of our coaching win-loss records, or, like, percentages.
Mm-hmm.
So, our first head coach, he had a 335 winning percentage. We'll just say whatever, 0.35.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then another guy. Let me just say these records, actually.
Yeah, I'm curious to them too, honestly.
Okay, so our first head coach went 44-88. Okay. Our next head coach went 4-28. Next head coach went 19-41.
Mm-hmm.
Next head coach went 4-5. Or not 4-5, 4-15. Okay, and then our next coach went 23-41. So all of those losing records, and then Tony Dungy came. He went 54-42. And then we had John Gruden, and he went 57-55. I feel like, you know, his last few years is definitely the reason why he's got that many losses.
Yeah.
Before he left.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably up there. And then freaking Raheem Morris, gross, 17-31. Greg Schiano, 11-21. Lovey Smith, 8-24.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dirk Cutter, 19-29. And then now we got Bruce Arians with his one season, went 7-9. But it's new day, brighter days.
Ain't off to a bad start, though.
Yeah, I mean, we could have went to the playoffs last year, bro. Like, we had to. I can't remember, but, you know, Jameis blew it for us. But, I mean, we've got the pieces, bro.
I can't.
Watch this. This would happen to us, though, bro, with the Bucks, that, like, the season gets, like, canceled, and then, like, Tom Brady, like, just, like, retires and, like, doesn't even freaking play. Doesn't even play for the Bucks. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened to us.
Nah, I don't think y'all. That's something that would happen at Cleveland or something.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it. So, yeah, I got to say John Gruden. And then obviously I didn't watch him coach at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that I remember. I was alive when he was coaching. But first one I really remember is John Gruden. And he was our best one.
So, since you pulled that up, I had to pull up these stats. And
yeah, let's hear y'all's. you guys are obviously a longer tenured like team. Yeah, so like, give me like,
I'm giving you Super Bowl era like time from
okay.
From Chuck Noll stepped in 1969. That's the year my dad was born.
Same. My mom was born that
so,
year.
So yeah. So yeah. So since let's just say 1970 for was that 50 years we've had three coaches. Like that.
That's crazy.
So yeah, Bill Cowher was a Steeler for 1992 to 06, 14 years.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that, bro. That's my childhood almost, minus 5 years. Yeah. So,
okay. This list I just found, it has Tony Dungy as one, John Gruden as two, and then already number three is Bruce Arians. So,
yeah, he's making a path. So, for Chuck Noll, for his 1969 to 1991 head coaching career for the Steelers, 209 wins, 156 losses, one tie. So, give or take, he won 50 more games than he lost.
Yeah.
For 22 years. Jeez. Bill Cowher, 1992 to 2006, 261 games, 161 wins, 99 losses. So he never got that 100th loss there.
That's really why he retired.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't want that last loss. And then Mike Tomlin stepped in 07 to 2020 to the present, I guess you could say.
Yep.
141 wins, 81 losses. So, one tie.
Do they have their winning percentages? Who has the highest between those three right now?
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I was about to say, I figured.
Yeah. Okay, obviously, time span as well. When you're the coach for 22 years, like Noll and 14. So, this would be Tomlin's 14th. No, I'm tripping. No, yeah, it would be. 07 to 2020, 2021. 13, 14 years. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a 0.63 win percentage. Cowher has a 0.61 and 0.57 for Chuck Noll. So,
yeah.
Can't complain, man. Can't complain.
Can't complain. Must be nice.
And you know, too, I don't know if you knew, you probably knew this. You know who was on your coaching staff for y'all Super Bowl? Yeah.
Yeah, Tomlin.
So I guess I can't knock him. He's got more Super Bowls technically than Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. We threw him y'all's way.
Yeah.
He learned about that Bucks defense. Yeah. And loved it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't really, we talked about this, but worst head coach, you can't really
recall. I really can't. Because obviously I've been spoiled, and then I'd have to go before the 1969 season probably and say,
yeah, this guy's you've never even watched
him. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
I would say either.
You got options. Let's say that.
Yeah. I'd say it's either between Greg Schiano and Lovie Smith. So Greg Schiano, we hired him from Rutgers, like head coach, and then became the head coach. Like, that's just Rutgers. Wild.
Yeah.
And then he never got it done, obviously. He was there for two seasons. Love that. But then Lovie Smith, like, I thought he was going to be good for us, you know, after coming. I mean, he had some success with the Bears and stuff, so definitely thought he was going to be good, but he was dog crap. He only had 8 wins in 2 seasons. So that's kind of crappy. But yeah, I'd say Lovie Smith. Just based on, I mean, he had a 0.25. Him and Greg Schiano coached the same amount of games, and Lovie was, he had a freaking quarter winning percentage. So that's pretty crappy. Yeah, it was easy. I mean, Dirk Cutter, he just could never, like, figure it out. Like, he's, like, an offensive-driven, like, minded guy. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Jameis has a lot to do. I mean, we just, I feel like Bruce Arians definitely got there at the right time,
mm-hmm.
as, like, everyone's kind of establishing themselves offensively, because obviously we got Mike Evans, but then we just picked up, you know, obviously Chris Godwin. We got all those guys, and then obviously the two big signings we just got. But before then, man, I don't even – there's too many freaking players to even talk about that were just so bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to look at some of the quarterbacks that we had. How many starters have you had? You've watched three?
Yeah.
Four?
Said names, yeah. Watch Ben win freaking a little bit before Ben, obviously. Tommy Maddox, who wasn't terrible, but he wasn't it. And then I've been spoiled with Ben, man. Let me just...
Yeah.
Bottom
for
line.
Sure, for sure. What was the next one we want to talk about?
Most hated or most disliked, who just didn't fit in your team, I guess you could say.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So as far as who didn't fit in the team, Lima Swede. I don't know if that name rings a bell or anything.
Kind of does.
He just this receiver who, I think there was like a handful of games, I can't remember the season, that he single-handedly lost for us because he dropped so many passes. And good gosh, bro. Like, probably a couple of those years that he did drop those that we'd be in the playoffs probably for some of those years. Him.
Yeah.
And then we had, you might know, Nate Washington. He played for Tennessee as well. And he was one of those problematic players who wanted money.
Yeah.
He just was not good enough to get that money. He's good.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of money grabbers. Obviously, Mike Wallace as well, who thought he was the bee's knees, knowing now Ben made him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because all our receivers who just, they don't get it, man. Ben might be arrogant. Call Ben what you want, but he's created a lot of receivers. He created Emmanuel Sanders. He created Mike Wallace. He's potentially creating Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju's a dog.
Yeah. So
love some Juju. I mean, I agree with that. Yeah. I like that. For the Bucks, I'm just going to go straight, like, most hated or, like, ego-wise. Or just in general. My dad probably will agree with this. So either, like, Warren Sapp. I mean, he's gotten better, I'm pretty sure, as a person ever since he retired. But my dad was telling, and my mom have told me, like, stories about how, I mean, he'd be walking out in, like in Tampa or whatever, just doing something, you know, and somebody would like come and ask him for an autograph and he just pretty much tell him to like F off. Like he just thought, you know, nobody can touch him. And then another one is Keyshawn Johnson. He was a wide receiver for us.
You know, I remember some of the people that you've been naming. It's funny. Did you ever play, NFL Street?
Oh yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. Our team was, we had dudes.
I remember, was it Tiki Barber's brother or whatever?
Rondé.
I remember Keyshawn from that. I think
the very first one, bro.
I think Sims was the quarterback in that game. I'm not sure though.
I think the first one. I remember getting that first one. I got it like Christmas Day, bro. I remember I was playing that so much. It was so much fun. But no, it was Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson. I couldn't.
Yeah. Mike Allstott was like the running back. He was a dog. But yeah, Keyshawn Johnson was
I remember Keyshawn Johnson because in the game, was he number 13?
19,
okay. He had his hat like, he had a visor and it was like upside down. Yeah, that's the only reason I remember him. And I thought he was 13 for some reason, but yeah, 19 does sound right.
Yep. I met him. It was kind of funny. He's from, I don't know if he's from, but he lives in Nebraska now. Mm. Or I don't know. I think his son ended up going there, playing football there.
Secluded area.
Yeah. But at Augustana, we would have what we called like the Legends Camp.
Mm.
And it was when like a lot of NFL players would come and help, you know, around the area, and they would, you know, talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's for like high school kids, but I worked the camp a couple times, you know, and then they would, you know, do drills with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Adam Thielen. That was dope. But yeah, Keyshawn Johnson came, and I talked to him for a little bit. I mean, he was nice. He's a nice guy now. I feel like obviously once they retire, they kind of
lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, lighten up, or they don't feel like it's just like young, immature like thoughts how they were or just how they acted because they had all that money and stuff like that. Yeah. But no, Keyshawn was a nice guy. He wasn't a D-bag, but he was a good guy then. But at the time, it's either Warren Sapp, Keyshawn Johnson, and then I can probably say like Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Dilfer was garbage, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. Yeah. But yeah, there's a three right there that are kind of
honorable mentions.
One that I also that when you texted me that one, I don't know why it came to my head. It was one of the first names I thought of though. He was like our left tackle or right tackle, like more recently. His name was Donald Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Bro was always just like getting all these like freaking unnecessary penalties, bro. Like he just like be throwing hands or at the end, like he just need to chill out. Like I just hated him because he would just kill so many drives, mm-hmm. bro. That's the worst when like I can take an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty from like a guy like OBJ or like Mike Evans because they can make up for it somehow by like actually catching the ball. You're a tackle. You don't touch the ball, bro. Just protect the quarterback because like you can't like
Steelers have had players like that, especially on the line and everything. I think to a point, I forget whose it was this past year, but he's responsible. He was almost averaging a false start every game, one or two, if not more. I want to say it's like a Miami, some lower tier team is what it was.
Yeah,
but yeah, I know what you mean.
So that would be that.
And personality wise, obviously. For me, you know who would be.
Oh, yeah. AB.
Yeah. Who's headlining, retiring. And that's what happens, man, when you mess about. Again, another player that I believe that Ben potentially had something to do with his. Not potentially. He had a lot to do with AB's success. So
no doubt.
And the fact that we literally. So we had two options. We had pay Le'Veon or pay AB. We chose AB, and he just wanted to be a forward. It's unbelievable. So now to this day, I just wish we would have paid Le'Veon, honestly.
Yeah. I feel like Le'Veon still has some good ball coming. Like he's still definitely got a lot in the tank. It's just kind of crappy that he just chose the Jets because of the money.
Yep. And the Jets, it was rumored before the trade deadline, the Jets were rumored to be looking to almost trade him back to the Steelers. There's just little things floating around. And, I mean, I would have loved that. I'm not going to lie. But even back then, I chose AB. A lot of fans chose AB over Le'Veon. If we could keep one, who we keeping? But still got Big Ben. That's all that matters.
Heck yeah.
Hopefully.
What what's another topic we could talk about? Who is the your favorite draft pick that you remember like drafting, like not even first round, but like a name that you're like super excited about, and then two, like another one that just was just like a bust?
Favorite one has to be TJ.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys passed on him and it's a taco. Whatever.
Oh, yeah,
whatever they, yeah. So that was a steal for us.
Yep.
As far as I gotta take, if you guys want to say, I'd have to take a minute to think of a bust, because I'm pretty sure there's that'd be somebody easy for me. But
that'd be pretty easy for me. So favorite one? Ooh. I mean, I'd lie and say I wasn't. I was so pumped when we took Jameis just because he just came on. I mean, from Florida State fan. So I was loving that, but that obviously didn't work out to really, you know, what we hoped for. But it's either, I mean, probably Mike Evans. Mm. Like when we got him, bro, he was, I mean, he's been nothing but great for us. He's had 1,000 yards every season, which is crazy, even with the, you know, the success of the team that we've had, how bad they have been. So, I mean, that's definitely on my top. Worst pick that we have ever picked, though, that I, in my more recent times, that I'm just like, I hate, mm-hmm. is Robert Aguayo, that kicker we took in the second round from, again, from Florida State. He was a money, he was money in college, bro. Dude did not miss in college. And then we drafted him with our second round pick, and he was a bust. He just could not hit. Like, we lost, again, we lost, you know, a few games that probably would have at least got us to the playoffs or, you know, mm-hmm. winning seasons because he couldn't hit chip shots. Mm-hmm. So that would be mine.
Yeah. Hating on the kickers, I guess that makes sense, bro.
Hey, man. But I guess, if he wasn't a second-round pick, I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
But the fact that we, like, traded up and back, like, back into the second round to grab him is wild.
Mm-hmm.
So,
see, I'm looking at, oh, you know who it could be?
What's up?
See, there's Martavis Bryant.
Yeah.
That was a, I did like that, pick, I don't know why I paused, that pick coming out of Clemson, obviously. And that's when he was part of that trio with, Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins. So, and I feel like Martavis, he had the potential and everything because he was a baller and everything in college, but drugs got to him, obviously, and he just couldn't stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Sent him on his way. But I did like that.
That will happen.
That would probably be the best bust. One of the worst busts that I do remember.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, Jameis now is probably, for us, was a bust pick, but it is what it is. I'm not going to hate on him. He got us a national championship at Florida State, so that was probably one of my favorite years of football. But, yeah, that's what I'd say. What about one of your favorite games as a Steelers fan? Obviously, what, the 2010 or the
08
Super Bowl.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if we're, I'm never gonna forget the plays obviously that were made in that. It's just history after history and everything.
Yeah,
but to be fair, there's not really been any memorable games that the Steelers have had since that. I mean, there's been a few playoff games that we've had, and we haven't, hopefully this year it'll change. I don't think we've beaten the Cowboys since whenever we played them before 08. Because they went to Pittsburgh, and they beat Pittsburgh there with Romo. Then we came down here, and I saw that game in 8 years ago, I guess, and the Cowboys beat them, so... Hopefully this year will be different. But, yeah. What about you?
Favorite game. Well, I've never seen a playoff win, like, that I can visually remember.
Mm.
Besides, you know, again, we won the Super Bowl in 2002, but I don't remember that. Mm. But probably some ones that come to my head is, I think it was, like, 2006. It was Tampa Bay was playing the Eagles, and our kicker, Matt Bryant, hit like a 62-yard field goal, and it was like, it like broke a record at the time. And I just remember watching that with my dad, and like we like freaked out, bro. It was dope. I remember we hadn't got we had like just bought like an HDTV,
mm-hmm.
like when they first came out or whatever. But for some reason, we didn't have it like set up right or something. Maybe just like the TV airing channel or, just, you know, the broadcast didn't have it right or like wasn't compatible or whatever the heck. So I remember it was like super fuzzy, but it was dope, bro. I just remember like, I remember he hit the field goal and I remember just like standing up on the couch and we were just going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That was dope. Shoot. I don't know. I mean, there's been some games. One of my favorite games for more recently this past season when we played the Rams, bro, and we went crazy on them. Like we put like 45 on them, and that was dope to watch. But as in like leaving like a historical marker, like, you know, like crazy, you know, obviously like playoff or Super Bowl wins, non-existent. Mm-hmm. But that I can remember, you know, that was pretty sweet.
I do, and I only say this because you're my friend and everything, but I do remember the game that the Steelers played against Tampa, what, 2 years ago? When we went to Tampa, when y'all had Fitzmagic going on.
On Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, like, as of recently, I do remember that game distinctively, just because I wanted bragging rights, obviously, but.
Yeah.
I think I just thought of this question, too. I think it's a good closing question, too. And I feel like I know position-wise one of your answers, what you'll answer this. But if you could bring back a former Tampa Bay player to come in, jump straight into the offense and defense, who would you bring?
I mean, offensively... I'd say either Mike Allstott or Warrick Dunn. Like
Warrick was a baller. He's one of my favorite players when he was on Atlanta.
Yeah, I'd probably say, I don't know, it'd just be different. You can take either one, but it'd probably be Warrick, honestly. Maybe, I don't know. Either I'm honestly stuck between one of them, but either one of them. Just because we haven't had a good running back in forever, like a solidified, you know, guy that can just carry the rock. So it was just dope with Mike because he was so, you know, versatile. Like, bro, could, you know, block for you. I would say Mike Allstott just because that's where, I mean, he was my favorite player. But, like, he could, like we've talked about in the past, you know, fullbacks are becoming – you know, they're valuable. Like, you know, if they can do something, you know, if they can do it all, like that, you got a good one right there. So I'd probably say him just because he could do so much. But defensively, I would probably say I'd say this just because we've been lacking it so long because we got a good linebacking core. So I could say Derek Brooks, but that just wouldn't, I mean, I wouldn't say that he would jumpstart or like help immensely, but secondary wise, like safeties, we've had terrible safeties forever for a while, bro. So I'd say John Lynch, bro, because John Lynch would bring the wood. So I liked him just because he could insert into the box, you know, and just make big plays and hit. He wasn't scared to hit. So nowadays everyone's, sometimes those guys are scared to hit, so it'd be him. What about you?
Now with Minka, I gotta say Troy. Because Minka and Troy would boss up the safety position. And linebackers, I mean, I think we're set. Probably a top five linebacker core right now in the NFL. I'd have to analyze every team, but I think we're set. We haven't really had a shutdown corner, and like people are gassing up Joe Hayden as of lately. I watch every Steeler game I can. He's our best one, don't get me wrong, and he's probably the best that we've had in a while, but I forget who did it. It was a few weeks ago, and I sent my dad. They did a top 10, and it wasn't the Madden ratings because Joe Hayden wasn't even top 10 up there, but some sports network did a poll and they put, I think, Joe Hayden at like third best corner. And they had, really? Yeah, and they had a, it must have been like a personal one, I guess you could say. Cause then yeah. they had, I always get Lattimore and Gilmore mixed up. Which one plays for the Saints?
Lattimore.
They had him at like 7 behind like, yeah. Especially from this past year, the dude that went to Jalen Ramsey, they had him at like number like 2 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. So like, wild. I was like, whoever made this, they put Joe Hayden at 3. He's not the third best. I think he might be top 10, but
yeah.
But yeah, definitely Troy. And then I think what we're lacking now is, I think our wide receiver core is, depending on how well Ben can feed him the ball this year, with James Washington, Juju.
Yeah.
And we got some drafties. But I'd probably bring Le'Veon back. I really would.
Yeah.
Because he could just, you know, his play style, how everything was just so delayed. To where nobody
It was so fun to watch.
Yeah,
him,
it was weird to watch. Because me and my dad would scream at the TV like, bust through that gap, what are you doing? And then by the time we're done screaming, he's breaking off for an extra 15 yards or something like that. Like, it's...
Yeah. It's insane. He's so patient. It's so dope to watch him run because he runs so high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things you tell running backs not to do, you know, like, have the pad, like, low pad level, but, like, I don't know. It's just like a gift that he has, bro. Like, that's just that extra sense, or, you know.
It's almost like he was peeking over the line because he ran with the ball out. So it's like he's like trying to check where he's going to go next or something like that.
Yeah. No, it's sweet. But he was a dog. But, and plus, I mean, if you add him, you can arguably have, you know, not the best receiving core, but as long as they can win, you know, or stuff like that, you know, he'll, you know, bring the linebackers up or bring the defense up. So then, you know, Ben can throw it over the top. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like that. That's a smart choice. But awesome.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I like that episode.
Yeah.
That was a good one to do. I'm excited for our look. We got to start brainstorming some questions and stuff or whatever for that kind of like a game thing that we want to do. But that should definitely be our next episode. So I'm all about that.
Mm.
But I appreciate everyone coming out. We appreciate everyone coming out and, you know, come back for the next show.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah, cool.